Yes.
So it is about 20 years since I last did a talk, so I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me. Hopefully I can actually read my notes and keep going through. I said to Pete, I have no idea how long it's going to take, but I don't think it's going to be like really long, so that's fine. But actually, as I was thinking about the talk today and what God wanted me to say, and actually Pete and Jen asked me to speak because I recently had a sozo, so that's what the talk is around, the whole kind of concept of sozo and my experience with it recently. But actually what I realised is probably this opportunity to speak came about because I had the sozo, if that makes sense. It's a bit circular like that, but sometimes things need to shift in us before those opportunities are released. Mm-hmm. And I think that's brilliant. So this is something, and I'll maybe bring it up later, what actually happened during my sozo, and one of the things that God gave me during that. So So what I'm going to do is talk, just give you a brief overview of what sozo is for anyone that doesn't know what that is, and then, kind of dive into what actually happened during my recent experience. Who here has had a sozo? So actually quite a lot of experience the process. So. I hope, so actually in the preparation for this talk, because I'm not trained in doing sozos, I've only experienced them, so I've been actually listening to Dawna De Silva and Teresa Liebsch's book and understanding kind of where everything came from, so I'm obviously borrowing heavily from them to talk about like the background of it. But I went for my recent sozo because basically I'd been feeling stuck, but I didn't know that. So I've been having these little thoughts about I'm feeling like this because this happened, and basically around well, lots of you walked through it with me that like the, this 10-year period that was really, really difficult for me, where Mark and I were struggling with infertility and we had miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies, and at the same time his brother was really unwell with cancer, and we were kind of caring for his mum quite a lot, and she kind of eventually kind of slipped into dementia as well, and this whole 10-year period was really, really hard. And so I was thinking about that time a lot and thinking, oh, I'm doing things this way because because that was really hard and I can't move on from it. But I don't know if this is how God works with you, but it was like these little kind of snapshots going on. And then Jenny was speaking in church back in April, and I can't actually remember what she was speaking on, but it was like everything came together, like God kind of just drew those things together for me, and I was like, oh, I'm really feeling stuck in that period of time, and I knew that I needed to get prayer. So it been a bit kind of scattered thoughts and just feeling not quite right, and God just kind of gathered that all together. So I asked her to pray for me afterwards, and she actually suggested that I go and get a sozo. And then I actually went and booked it, which is key. And it was really easy to book. So I went over to Eastgate and I booked it online, and they, you know, just comes up with the slots and things. So it's actually really, really easy to book it. I actually moved it from the time that I originally booked it, but I got there eventually in June. Sozo there in June, and it's it's really great over there. I suppose most of you have been over to Eastgate at some point. I don't know. But it's, they've got a dedicated building and they've got a dedicated room for doing sozos in. And what I love about that is that you know that lots and lots of people have been like healed in that space and that God's presence is really there. So it's just a wonderful experience being over there. And the session was led by two wonderful women, so one of whom's there to just kind of lead the session and one of whom was there to kind of pray and just write everything down. What you come away with is like wonderful sheets of everything that God has said to you, which is brilliant. So what is sozo? apparently it's used in scripture 111 times. But the Greek word sozo has connotations of healing, deliverance and salvation within it. And actually in the book they describe it as like a 3D experience. Mm. So it's not just, quite often it's translated as saved, but it's not just saved. And sometimes it's translated as well, but it's not just being healed. It's this truly like transformational aspect of God's nature towards us. So it's used in Matthew 9 with the woman who had the issue of blood. And it says, so it's Matthew 9 verse 20 to 22, and it says, "Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, 'If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed.' Jesus turned and saw her. 'Take heart, daughter,' he said, 'your faith has healed you.' And the woman was healed at that moment." So in other translations, it says like made whole. And it's that, you know, when she touched his cloak, she was healed. And then Jesus makes her like truly whole and restores her with that, you know, with that phrase, like take heart, like daughter. I think in other translations, it's like daughter of Abraham, you know, like really restoring her back into the community. And that's what sozo is. It's, she wasn't just healed, she was like truly transformed.
Yeah, that's great.
And then another example is of the 10 lepers in Luke 17. So Jesus tells these 10 lepers to go and show themselves to the priests. And as they're going, they actually get healed. And one of them comes back. And from verse 15, it says, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to praise God except this foreigner?' Then he said to them, 'Rise and go, your faith has made you well.'" And again, it's that phrase at the end, "made you well." That's sozo. So the left, like the other 9, they were still healed, but the one who came back and praised God and he was like truly transformed. You know, so he was healed, delivered, and saved as well, which is incredible. So that's what the sozo ministry is that desire to see people completely transformed and completely healed. And they talk in the book about how, you know, they were tired of seeing people not being healed. So they were starting to find these tools from different ministries and bringing together, and that's where the sozo ministry came from. So I think it's like with so many things in our walk, we know we're saved, but we are being saved. We know that we are delivered because of what Jesus did on the cross, but we are being delivered. We know we are healed, but we're still pursuing our healing. And it's that, you know, now and not yet. We're always in this tension of things have happened. Jesus accomplished everything on the cross, but we still need to pursue and go further. And God's desire for us is that we have this beautiful relationship with him. And you know, as we were singing, in the land of the living, you know, we want to go far with God. Yes, and yes, it is enough that we're saved. You know, at that moment that we say that prayer, we are saved, and God's presence with us from that point. But he desires to know us more and for us to know him completely. So the process of being transformed of so-so is so that we can relate to Father God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, like the entire Godhead, and uncover lies that we've believed or wounds that we have or ungodly mindsets and transform them so that we can know the Godhead better. So it's about how we relate to Father God, to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that, you know, Father God is our protector, our provider, and he gives us our identity. And we obviously relate to him. We call him Father God, don't we? How we related to our earthly fathers, our dads, can affect how we see our heavenly Father. So where things have happened potentially in our childhoods or even beyond that, and other male caregivers as well, can affect how we see Father God. Not necessarily consciously, but subconsciously. And that's how kind of so-so works. Jesus is described in scripture as our friend and our brother and our mediator. And so our earthly relationships with our friends and our siblings therefore affect how we relate to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our comforter, and Holy Spirit nurtures us. And so our relationships with our mothers and other caregiving females as well affect how we relate to the Holy Spirit. And so it's with those kind of things, so the ideal of total transformation and how we relate to the Godhead, to the Trinity, is kind of the reason for so-so, really. Like the reason that they do it, so that everyone can be transformed and have those better relationships. And the process is really, like, really very simple at its heart. So it's about, like, identifying these areas where we've believed a lie. You know, something might have happened. We thought something about that situation. We believed a lie, or we received a wound. We have a mindset that came out of that experience, so identifying it, forgiving or receiving forgiveness, and then renouncing the lie and then receiving something in exchange. There's never a void left there, that, you know, we're left empty. God will always fill it. And I've written here as well, like, the forgiveness stage. It's, I was thinking about how beautiful it is, because it's not, you need to repent. You know, sometimes repentance can feel a bit heavy and like, oh, I'm so sorry because, you know, this happened and I've been carrying it around with me for so long and I shouldn't have done that, and the kind of shame and guilt side that sometimes we can associate with repentance. But it's literally like, God shows you. And it's beautiful because it's all God-led as well. And I'll try and explain that a bit more. But it's... He just shows you. And then they lead you through prayers. So it might look something like, you know, show me, Father God, please show me a time when I was happy in my childhood, or something like that. Another time, actually not this time, but a question that I've started at Sozo is just show me my wall. Because subconsciously we can build these walls up against our relationship.
Yeah.
So it's allowing God to show you something that he wants to bring to your attention, and that helps you to identify a situation. And then asking the Father God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, depending on what situation you're working with, you know, what did I believe from that situation? And letting them just show you what you believed in that situation. And then maybe a simple prayer of, you know, please forgive me for believing that. Mm-hmm. I forgive, you might need to forgive someone in that situation. And then saying, I renounce that lie that I believed. And then, what do you give me in exchange? Or what do you believe about me?
Yeah.
And so the person leading you through will lead you through those prayers. So there's no time for, oh, this felt so bad. Like, oh, I'm going to wallow in that feeling of like, oh, this is so awful. Because they're like, right, okay, Father God, please forgive me for this. And when I'm saying it out loud, it feels a bit robotic maybe, but it's such a beautiful process to be in there and be led through there, and it truly is transformational.
Good stuff.
So what did this actually look like for me? So I'm just going to just go through a couple of examples. Actually, I was like, oh, it's quite hard to remember, but I think that's actually a good thing because it means that it's actually truly being dealt with. You know, so actually I'm really not stuck in those situations. And it's funny because I told you before that actually I went because I felt like I was stuck in that really hard 10-year period. But when I was in my Sozo, we didn't talk anything about that. But it is dealt with, and I'm not stuck in that bit anymore. And it just shows you, like, God works in such different ways than we think, doesn't he? You know, he's not, like, I'm quite a linear person, quite a logical person. But he, you know, he knows that actually over here is the real problem. And, you know, if we can deal with that, then actually over here is going to be fine. So one of the childhood memories that he took me to was when I was on holiday with my family, and I was quite young. I was maybe actually like Phoebe's age, I think. And we'd gone down to Hastings. And obviously had maybe a fraught car journey because there was three of us, all quite young. And my dad had taken us, like the kids out, us three kids out, and we'd got an ice cream. And I remembered that I got one of those ice creams with the like funny feet, like it was a foot shape. Do you remember them back in the 80s?
Yes, yes.
You know, and that was like a really nice part. But when we got back to where we were staying, my mum was like, she was really, really upset because I think she hadn't properly heard what my dad was about to do. She hadn't heard that he was taking us out. she didn't know how long we were going to be. I think she basically felt abandoned by my dad, and she tried to make up the beds and things, found it really, really difficult. And so she was really upset, and I think we'd had a nice time, and to come back to that. And what I'd learned from that situation was that I was incapable of doing things on my own. Now that seems, that saying that out loud now seems really strange, but I think I identified so strongly with my mum and her emotion in that moment that it had taught me that, like, you know, we must never go off and leave people because they will feel abandoned and alone. And so in the SOZO we worked through that, like, what have I, you know, what have I believed in that situation, that I can't do things on my own, that I am, you know, abandoned, that things are really hard for me to do on my own. And took me through, like, forgiving my dad, forgiving my mum, forgiving myself for believing that, renouncing that lie, and then, you know, asking God, like, how he saw me and what he gave me in return for giving up that lie. And this is what he said, what was written down for me. Holy Spirit wants to give me a box of chocolates, things to try and explore, learn and see if I can do, if I like them. Father God says I am very capable. There's lots of things that I can do. He speaks to us in language that we understand. You know, I knew immediately when I saw him giving me that box of chocolates that it was like, it wasn't about the chocolate, it was about the different types, and there's lots of opportunities for me to go out and try and explore and do other things, which is probably, this is one of my chocolates, like standing up and doing this, talking about you, is one of those chocolates that I am capable. You know, that for me, it was like massive, and that I'd been feeling so incapable, I'd been so angry at Mark for going and leaving me when he goes out on his bike because of that moment back in my childhood. And God said to me, you know, actually Mark's recharging his love batteries when he's out. And again, that's like just transformed my thinking of that whole situation. So it's a really beautiful thing. Like, God will take you to the places where he knows that you need the healing, and that, you know, those chocolates, that's given me hope for the future. It's given me that, like, actually, you know, there is more. There's, I can move on. I can, you know, do more things. So that's incredible. And helped me have a better relationship with Father God as well, because there was a lie there that I was believing, that God is far, that he leaves me when I'm trying to do hard things, which isn't true. So renouncing that lie as well. And the other thing that I wanted to tell you about as well, which is very different, is about a friendship that I have, that I've known this woman now since I was 11. She's been my friend for 35 years. And God, you know, took me to examine that friendship. And actually the lady who was leading the SOZO session said, you know, actually when you've had friendships for that long, there can be soul ties there, which is something that had never occurred to me. So, she's been my friend for 35 years, but there's always been that, like, a tension there. Like, not, I wouldn't describe her as a frenemy, but I'm always a little bit on edge around her. And I'm sure, you know, people can identify with relationships like that, that it's just never been quite right. Like, I'd get anxious before I saw her. Like, was I wearing the right, like, clothes she would approve of? Would I, you know, say things that she would think okay? Was I, you know, she's just someone who's got quite strong opinions, let's put it that way. And so again, you know, the ladies, they took me through that process of finding out what God thought about that relationship. And and she'd said to me before, kind of went into that, you know, we sometimes clap to signify the breaking of a soul tie. And so she said the prayer, she clapped, I said the prayer, I clapped, and like, it's really hard to describe to you now, but the emotion that rose up in me, like, I know that I have been set free from that soul tie, and that friendship will not be the same going forwards. That God has completely, like, set me free from being tied to her, because I never felt like I could get away. There's definitely been moments where I was like, I need, you know, this is a toxic friendship or whatever, you know, I need to break this off, but feeling like I really couldn't. But he's done it. He's done it in that moment of transformation. He's set me free. And that's what can happen in those, you know, 2 hours of a so-so session. And what did God give me in return? He says, Jesus gives me a periscope so that I can see up, above and beyond. Mm. He'll bring his goodness into our conversations and change the atmosphere. So, you know, yeah. So I know that whole friendship is completely transformed. That God is in it now. Like, he's not excluded by that soul tie. He's in it, which is fabulous. Really, very, very good. So I think we're going to go into communion soon, aren't we? But I just wanted to encourage anyone to go and get a so-so.
Yeah. Yes.
There doesn't have to be a reason to go. Like, I went because I had a reason and Jenny suggested it, but I'm actually thinking maybe I should go and do this just periodically, like, I don't know, once a quarter, twice a year, something like that, because it is about our relationship. You get that, you know, they give you up to 2 hours of their time to have, you know, unrushed communication with God. And it's brilliant. And he's, like Pete was reading at the beginning, you know, he's so kind, he's so gentle, and he just leads you where you need to go. There's nothing to be afraid of, because God is never gonna, you know, hit you around the head with something. he just gently leads you by the hand and takes you and well, you know, you all know me, like, I'm massively emotional anyway. So you can imagine, like, the amount of tears and tissues and stuff going on, but that's not, you know, that's just part of the healing process, isn't it?
Yeah.
And going through that. So so even though we didn't talk about that, I am moving forwards, and I feel it, and I can see it being worked out in my life, and how I feel about situations, the fact that I'm standing up here in front of you, and in my spiritual life as well, I've felt the change, and in my relationship with God, which
wow,
is
brilliant.
So, yes. So I would all encourage you to let's bombard Eastgate. Go take all those slots. Go and get ourselves saved, healed, and delivered completely, sozoed by God. So we're going to have communion. My thought about communion was there's a couple of places, obviously, in scripture that says just examine your heart before you go. Like, we're not going to do full sozos here, but sometimes there's things that we can easily just say, oh, I know that's not right. Just bring it before God.
Yeah.
Ask forgiveness. Forgive the other person. You know, renounce any things that you've forgotten, and you can do that in your own heart. And other times, you know, if you know there's been a plank that's been there for a while, then maybe actually a so-so can help you kind of work through that. But let me just read Matthew 5, this is 23-24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. So yeah, a little heart check, and ask God if there's anything that he wants to transform in you before we take communion.
Brilliant. Chocolate. That's awesome, Steph. Thank you so much.